Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the MTS Center ice surface. Welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined in the press box by Michael Remus and Richard Pollock, where the Boston Bruins have just defeated the Winnipeg Jets by a 3-2 margin. Jets started this week Tuesday against Philly, Friday against Pittsburgh, wrapped it up tonight against Boston. I don't think the effort was as good as it was against Pittsburgh on Friday night. The Jets certainly were in this game and had their opportunities. But like we've said numerous times this year, just a little too short on the actual results. Good effort, but the results just weren't there.
Yeah, Drew, I mean, I think you have to look at the Jets tonight as a lack of focus, in my opinion. They were in the game. Pretty even game overall. A lot of neutral zone play. Nothing too exciting. But at the end of the day, you don't focus at the beginning and ends of periods, and that's what killed the Jets tonight. It's the little things. It's the things that good teams you never notice. Good teams don't let the things happen to them tonight that happened to the Jets. And, you know, that has to be fixed in some form, and I don't know if that's going to be fixed in the foreseeable future.
Agreed. The first period of this game saw no scoring. Boston controlled the majority of the flow of the first period. I thought the Jets were lucky to escape with a 0-0 tie after one. You know, Andre Pavlik made some nice saves, or some, you know, probably saves he expects to make, expected saves, sure. You know, in the first period. But Boston did control the flow of the game. The Jets had spurts here and there, but nothing of any real consequence. And I would say the Jets were fortunate to be down to be tied scoreless, to be in a scoreless tie after 20 minutes.
Yeah, I agree with that, Drew. I thought Boston controlled the puck for a larger portion of the first period than did the Jets. The Jets were not really dangerous. I thought the first period was overall was pretty boring. A lot of just nothing play.
Yeah, a lot of neutral zone play that was relatively inconsequential.
Yeah, and that's just what the period was. And you know, some people said in the press box, and it may very well be true that the Jets need to kind of play that way against really good teams to stay in the game. And if that's the way they feel, they may very well be right. But you have to score to win. You can't win 0-0. So the Jets need to be able to generate more scoring chances. As I noted you off air and we touched on Saturday, I mean, as of Saturday, it was 8 games in a row without 3 goals. Tonight, Sunday night, they lose 3-2. That would make it 9 games in a row without 3 goals. And to me, that means the lines need to change because nothing has been working. And you could also make, I was talking about this during the intermission with one of the writers, and I said, you know, if your first line is quote unquote working, so you got Little, Ladd, and Wheeler, and they're working, quote unquote.
And they played well again today.
I mean, by points. You know, they all have 10, 11, 12, 13 points, whatever it is. But the rest of the lineup isn't working. Now, Kane and Burmistrov, those guys, and Antropov got on the board today. But the point is if the first line is producing points and the rest of the roster isn't, then maybe the lines aren't working. You know what I mean by that? And that the first line together may be good for the first line, but it may not be good for the collective team in terms of production. So that's something they have to consider as well.
Agreed wholeheartedly there. The scoring started at the 1:43 mark of the second period. Alex Burmistrov got the goal, assist to the two Zachs, Zach Bogosian with the primary assist, Zach Redmond with the secondary assist. Well, you know, this was just, it wasn't anything pretty. It was put the puck on net, and Zach Bogosian did that, and you know, he took a good shot from the point, hit Tuukka Rask, you know, sort of right in the bread basket, rebound right in front. Zach and Alex Burmistrov gets two chances. He outmuscles Dougie Hamilton, you know, the Bruins' impressive defensive rookie, and he puts the puck in just over the goal line past Tuukka Rask. The Jets have a 1-0 lead.
Well, I think it's one of those things where you have to go to the net. I thought the Bruins did a tremendous job. Penguins, too, really just driving the net. Three guys go to the net in the offensive zone. I thought in that play, it was when the Jets go to the net, and Burmistrov did. Good things happen. And the Jets really don't get enough net front presence. I know that's kind of a term that Pierre Maguire phrased, but it's just a matter of crashing the net. And Burmistrov is a guy who kind of lives on the perimeter at times, but tonight didn't. And I thought he played really well, and I thought he benefited from going to the net.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Jets had a 1-0 lead early in the second period. At the 10:07 mark, the Bruins were able to tie it up. Just a point shot, really just a wrist shot from Zdeno Chara up at the left point. You know, it took us a number of replays to actually see who tipped it. We first thought it went in off Ron Hainsey. That wasn't the case. Then we thought it was Brad Marchand who tipped it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Marchand. It was actually Tyler Seguin sort of floating, you know, relatively above the crease, just sort of stuck out his stick on it and deflected it in past Andre Pavlik. We were having a debate with our colleague Troy Westwood up here whether or not that's a goal that Pavlik should have. I was willing to cut Pavlik some slack on that one. I thought it was just a nifty tip by a very talented player in Tyler Seguin.
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, tips are always hard for goalies to deal with, and there's a fair amount of traffic. I think it goes back to my last point about the Bruins and then the Jets goal, as part of that point, in that the Bruins crash the net there. So you see that Marchand is causing havoc out front, so Pavlik's got to worry about him. Haintzy's trying to box out a player. The puck gets thrown by Chara, and give Chara credit. It was just a floater wrist shot, which he knew the point was to tip it.
Yeah,
and he did a great job. Smart play. The Jets can't hit the net for the life of them.
The point of Chara's shot was to either get it tipped or get it through the defenseman so that there's a rebound for his guys in front of the net. Nothing pretty about it. Nothing sexy about it. But that's the point, is that it doesn't need to be pretty or sexy. A goal counts however you put it into the net. There's no style points for bonus points.
Yeah. I think something obviously that's going to be pointed out a lot over the next few days is the Jets missing the net. I believe they're last in the league now at they're the best at missing the net, or as some would say, the worst. And I think those are the little things. Like Chara has a massive slap shot. I don't remember the exact play, whether he had time to get it off. But the point is, and Johnny Boychuk did this later in the play, kind of with a hard slap pass. But
it's
having the touch, right? It's just throwing the puck on the net. And sometimes you guarantee yourself a chance by either throwing it on the net. It'll be a soft shot, but it'll be a shot. Right? Mm-hmm. You'll tip it, or it'll be a rebound, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Whereas every time if you wind up and you take a massive slap shot and it misses the net three out of every few times, you're minimizing your ability to generate offense.
Jets had 24 shots in this game. They had 26 missed shots, and they had 20 shots that were blocked. So that just goes to show you, how they're teeing up and they're trying to hit the puck out of the ballpark or through the net, through the boards on every shot they take, as opposed to just getting it on the net and letting good things happen as a result.
Right.
Anyways, the Jets bounced back after that one-all goal, and they were able to make it 2-1 for the Jets at the 19:34 mark of the second period, so with 26 seconds to go in the second period. Evander Kane gets the goal, finally gets him off the schneid, as we expected in this Friday-Sunday set of games. We thought he'd been playing well, and he'd been a bit snake bitten. Time for him to get on the scoreboard. He does. Evander Kane with the goal, assist to Nick Antropov and Alex Burmistrov. Antropov in behind the net, backhand pass from behind the net. Evander Kane gets two chances, gets two whacks at it, and gets a pass to Carrasco on the second chance to make it 2-1 Jets. You figure they're going to go into the second intermission with a 2-1 lead, all the momentum, but it was not to be.
Right. I mean, first let's talk about the pass. And I thought that they put it around the cycle, and Antropov makes a beautiful pass behind a backhand pass over to Kane again with going to the net. Kane does go to the net, but Kane goes to the net there, gets a couple of whacks, and he gets a goal. And if you want to look at it in a simple terms, the Jets' two goals were from the same spot in the ice there, right below this, right above the bottom of the circle to the left side of Rask.
All within three, four feet of the goal. So, I mean, nothing from the outside in the dirty areas, as the cliches like to be. So Jets have a 2-1 lead. There's 26 seconds left. As I mentioned, you think they have all the momentum. You think they're going to go into the second intermission with the lead. But they fell asleep. And a guy that's fallen asleep more than once in his own zone in the course of his career, Dustin Byfuglien. You don't really want to pinpoint guys who are responsible for this one, but this is on Byfuglien. He lost track of his guy, Daniel Paille, in front of the net. Like you said, a slap pass from Zach Boychuk, hard on the ice, perfect for tipping. Paille tips it. Dustin Byfuglien's doing a great job defending a ghost right there. Paille tips it past Pavlik. 2-2 with that, and that whole thing happened when there was 2 seconds left in the second period.
Yeah, you said it, Drew. I mean, Byfuglien blew the coverage, and it changed the game. I mean, a second and a half left. Keep your focus. You know who your guy is there. There was no question about it. Paille was your guy. Get your stick under his stick. Take the body. That doesn't happen. He doesn't do that, and they get scored against, and it obviously changed the momentum of the game considerably. I mean, the Jets. We watched them walk. I mean, at least I watched them walk off the ice after the second. Their heads were not as high as they would have been had they walked out with a 2-1 lead against the Bruins.
30 seconds earlier, they're flying high. The arena's rocking. Mm-hmm. They score that goal. All of a sudden, the Bruins have the momentum. Yep. They have the energy. The Jets got their chins on their chest, like you said, and just the whole momentum at that point. And the thing about Dustin Byfuglien's play there is, that the shot's has to go towards the net. Because there's no time for anything else to happen there.
Good point.
There's no. They're not going to be able to do any work along the boards there because the clock's going to expire. You have to know the game situation, and you have to act accordingly. In that situation, Dustin Byfuglien's responsibility, sole responsibility, is to stick to his guy like glue, tie up the stick, get his body in the way. That doesn't happen, and it's a 2-2 game after 40 minutes.
That's a great point. Basically, what you're saying there is you can kind of cheat, knowing the guy's not going to go behind you on the boards.
That's right. There's not going to be time for any backdoor action or anything along those lines. It's strictly going to come right in front of the net. That's the only play the Bruins had. Bruins get to take a 3-2 lead on the power play 36 seconds into the third period. So like we talked about, momentum, obviously, with Boston.
Yeah.
Ron Hainsey takes a tripping penalty 6 seconds into the period after, right off the face-off, the seas parted for the Jets. I don't know what happened to their wingers on that play, but...
Let's go ahead to that for a second. I think you kind of see Ladd and Wheeler kind of... You assume, I mean, I don't really know what they were doing, frankly, Drew. You had Ladd kind of pop up out the middle and Wheeler pop up the right side and leave a massive hole, a parting of the Red Sea up the middle. That's not the strategy. I don't know what happened there. And I thought, you know, sometimes when you see the play and you see the Marchand get split the defenseman, right? You say, okay, well, that is on the defenseman, and to a point. But the play also starts before that, and Ladd and Wheeler just took bad angles to that puck, and they're not following the strategy, and that's a disappointment for the team. And that's a focus issue too. You know, you're going to blame Byfuglien on a focus issue. It's a focus issue for Ladd and Wheeler.
That's right.
What are you guys doing? Why? And maybe you're not into the game right away, but you can't let that happen. And that's the unfortunate part for the Jets is, you know, before fans got back to their seats in the arena, a lot of fans were still, you know, it was less than a minute in.
Yeah.
People were still going to the washroom or getting their beers or whatever it may be, if they can get beers after the second. I know Remus tried, but and look what happened. Look what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Marchand doesn't score when the seas part, but he gets hauled down by Ron Hainsey. I understand the call. I thought it was a little bit of a late call, so I didn't love it because I think the ref sort of said...
Yeah, sorry. That's what I was discussing. Yeah. So sorry.
Yeah. So you know, Ron Hainsey goes to the box, takes the tripping penalty. Whatever. If it's a penalty, it's a good penalty to take. I don't know that the ref necessarily needed to call it. I wasn't thrilled with the call.
You know. Quickly on that point, Drew, it was a late call. I thought he watched it for a while, and I have an issue with it being late. I don't have an issue with the call itself, but I agree with you.
If you're going to make the call,
make it right away.
Make it immediate. Don't let the play develop. Yep. Don't let the play occur. See what Marchand does with the attempt, and then call it.
Right.
If it's a penalty immediately, not as a result and not with the aftermath.
Your point would be that... If you're going to call a penalty there, your hands to be up right away, and then you have to determine whether or not it's a penalty shot.
You're right, because in that instance, and I mean, people will be able to see it on the replay, when he hauls him down, if it's a penalty, based on the rule book, to me, it's a penalty shot, because he had a clear angle at the net, there was no doubt about it, so I'm not sure why it was a penalty, but not a penalty shot in that instance, obviously something that, you know, but the point is, if you don't break down defensively there, it's not never an issue. Anyways, the Bruins are able to capitalize on the power play at the 36-second mark. The aforementioned Brad Marchand, him and Patrice Bergeron were tremendously dangerous for the Bruins all game today. Marchand coming in down the right-hand side, backhand, top corner, beats Andrei Pavlik, glove high on the glove side, which is obviously where the scouting report is. Says that's where you go after Andrei Pavlik. He does so, 3-2 Bruins, and you're barely, like you said, you're barely into the third period.
And that was really it. I mean, the Jets did get some chances there, but the Jets' power play, and I believe they had one late in the middle of the third there.
About 6 minutes to go, they had a power play attempt.
I don't know offhand how many times they've had a nice power play opportunity down one goal in the third period. I know it was two last game, but that power play right now, and I don't know where it is in the standings. I know they started off pretty well, so it hasn't gone down as far as you think, but... Unless Dustin Byfuglien's a one-man breakout, I mean, that power play looks brutal right now. And they're slow moving, there's no speed, and there's no chemistry, and they're whipping it around the boards, and the players are missing the puck, and it's getting cleared, and it doesn't seem like there's a semblance of a plan. So there's a lot of holes in this squad right now, and there's a lot of reasons to not like what you're seeing if you're a fan of the team. So you have to hope if you're a Jets fan. Excuse me. You have to hope that you're a Jets fan, that going out on the road is going to galvanize the squad and they're going to make a little bit of a run. But the past would indicate that that's not going to happen, that they don't play that well on the road, and they're going up against obviously some tough competition. Rangers and Buffalo's going to be angry, and It's not going to be easy. So they dug themselves quite a hole. I believe they're 29th or 30th in the league as of this podcast, maybe 28th with Washington there. But whatever it is, you're closer to the bottom, certainly closer to the bottom than you are at the top, closer to the bottom than you are at the playoffs, although that's tight just because it's a short season.
Right.
I know we're talking about this after 13, 14 games. But it is what it is.
Yeah, it's just, you're right. It's, I mean, you know, this is when you have to talk about it. I mean, because right now, most fans are probably going to be focusing their attention on three guys, Jonathan Drouin, Nathan MacKinnon, mm-hmm. and Seth Jones, because that seems a lot more realistic, a top three overall pick, than it does any sort of playoff action this year in the MTS Center.
Well, I mean, today is what, February 17th? What's the trade deadline? March 31st?
Or? It's April 3rd, I think. I think it's 3rd. The Wednesday this year, April 3rd.
So, I mean, you're a month and a half away from the trade deadline. Now, if you were in the middle of the regular season and you were in January,
yeah,
right around that period of time, you'd say, okay, we need to evaluate here. What are we going to do strategy-wise? And what are we going to do with our squad? Because we need to know for the trade deadline. And that comes about, it's a compact schedule, and it comes about more quickly. But you still need to examine your organization the same way, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, 9 of the Jets' next 11 games are on the road. So I think the Jets will know certainly well before the trade mm-hmm. deadline if they are, I mean, I can't imagine a scenario where they're buyers. But the question is, how much are they sellers? Now, last year they didn't sell very much. They only sold Johnny Oduya to the Chicago Blackhawks. Mm-hmm. How much this year? You know, how bad are you come April 3rd? Who else is on the market? Because I think there's a lot of players on this team who are likely to be trade candidates if things continue the way they have so far this season. Of course, we'll deal with that as time comes. The leaders in ice time for the Jets tonight, Evander Kane leads all forwards with 21 minutes and 35 seconds of ice time. In terms of the defensemen, Dustin Byfuglien, 24-19. Zach Bogosian, 23-37. Mark Stewart actually plays the fewest number of minutes for the Jets defense at 14:35. I think that's something worth keeping an eye on. I'm not sure if he missed a couple shifts due to being banged up or something, but Mark Stewart only playing 14:35 jumps out at me as being a very small number for a guy that the Jets usually rely on defensively. Jets are next in action Tuesday night in Buffalo for the start of the road trip. Tuesday in Buffalo, Thursday in Carolina, Saturday afternoon, 12 noon in Philly, and then a Sunday late afternoon game in New Jersey. We remind you, Wednesday night, 6 p.m. NHL Midweek with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show will be on TSN 1290. Then next Saturday, prior to the Jets-Flyers game, a very early 6 a.m. start time for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. For producer Michael Remus and my co-host or my colleague Richard Pollock, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. Thank you for listening. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.